proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada.
Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
And of course, we invite your texts to the same number, 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter, all live and local till noon. We have one of the visiting comedians coming on at 11 o'clock who's appearing at the Carson City Nugget Comedy Show. Worth waiting for. They bring in some great people, and that's going to be a lot of fun. You're ready for some sad news here. You may have noticed there was no... Boy, did I miss this. There was no It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown on TV this year again, and you won't see a Charlie Brown Christmas either. Because, once again, Apple TV, you know, the one that nobody watches, is the only streaming service and the only way you can see the Holiday Peanuts specials, which means you have to purchase a subscription to watch. And I think this is the fourth year the Charlie Brown Holiday specials do not air through any standard television networks. I could not even find them on YouTube. Because I remember last year they were there, and I think they get pulled off by the company, you know. It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown Christmas are only available on Apple TV Plus. I don't know what the plus is. It means you pay more than over. Anyway, but that's my childhood right there. And it's the Appleist thing they've ever done. They are literally Lucy pulling the football from us. And I'm so tired of all this exclusive BS with every good show being poached onto all these streaming services I've never heard of, these billion-dollar corporations who want people to use their lousy app. I don't think Charles Schulz would have wanted this. And I don't know about you, but it is just not Christmas without Charlie Brown Christmas. There. Done. I said it. I don't want to be the grouchy old man. I've said this many times. Speaking of which, on behalf of all of us at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, we want to wish you a happy, healthy, and safe holiday season. You know, with Thanksgiving this week, and as we counted our blessings, the things for which we are grateful of, on behalf of all of us here, we are grateful for you. Right, Craig? We're grateful to those folks out there. We're grateful that you tune in. It allows us to support our families. It prospers our advertisers. It prospers our company. And it keeps this good old radio station going strong. And it's not because of any of us who are on the air. It's because all of you who listen. And no one recognizes that and appreciates that more than I do. I do consider myself grateful because I have felt over the past 3.5 years since Channel 2 cut me off the TV that since then it's really been a good time for me. And I've straightened my head out over a lot of things, and I have become a lot more happy of a person. I've become better at the things I do in life, free of, negative distractions. And I found myself, after 20 years on Channel 2, and I would have loved another 20 if I could, but after that all happened, I was thinking, well, Lord, you know, I'm ready to do more. What should I do? And I felt like there was a lot more in the tank, you know, and I'd like to use it. And what that means, I don't know, but I find myself excited about things again, and I find myself grateful for it. Like this morning at 4 a.m., an obscenely early hour when the alarm went off, I was excited to get to the tasks at hand and write up some notes for this show. And so, anyway, forgive me. Who cares about any of this stuff? But that's my feeling right now about that. So I'm eternally grateful. And I've always said that is the secret to happiness, to just be grateful. So I'm watching my emails now, and I must say I get the absolute worst spam emails. I just got this, I swear to God, 10 minutes ago. What watermelon does to your brain. That's the kind of, I don't know why I get this stuff, but that's the spam emails I get. And a lot of shopping stuff. They know me. I don't know how. I've never been much of a fan of shopping. I said last week that my favorite way to online shop now is just to post on Facebook what I'm looking for and then wait for Facebook to post an ad for it for me. Funny how that happens. It's not a joke. It's uncanny how that happens. But if you are already Christmas shopping already and you're buying, I got a little bit of advice. If you're buying those insulated drink travel containers for your friends and relatives, let me just say that I think those were last year. Okay. I honestly have a closet full of these insulated drink travel containers. I think drink bottles, I think they have attained Beanie Baby status, I'm pretty sure. Although I have to admit, you know, Amazon lured me in, so I looked at these amazing insulated drink containers. I was blown away. I swear, there's like 500. Yeti has, and all the others, and they're all, people buy these for like $35 a piece. Now, there was one originally priced $65 that I was very tempted to buy for $30. Because it just looks so nice in the picture. But like I said, I got a closet full of them. If you're getting that, why don't you get a Tickle Me Elmo, too? That's also, I think. Anyway, speaking of shopping, Walmart this week, a big news from Walmart. They agreed to pull from its shelves any inappropriate or sexual or transgender products that were targeted to children under the age of 18, which, wow, that's tremendous. And also, Walmart funds a lot of Pride events. Walmart this week said it would review all of the Pride things that it funds, as it gives a lot of money to the gay stuff, and they're going to pull any money from any of those that target young people under the age of 18. Also, Walmart had a supplier diversity preference system, which meant that they would give preference to buying stuff from companies that were owned by non-whites. And they said they're going to do away with that, and they're just going to buy whatever, the best product at the best price, and, you know, get rid of that racial preference or discrimination. And Walmart, they put a lot of money into something called the Racial Equity Institute for their training. And when you hire these trainers, like companies are kind of like convinced to do for their training, you know, the Racial Equity Institute goes to the company and you pay them to train employees in these seminars. And when you hire these trainers, you're kind of buying them from protesting you. It's if we give you a lot of money, you won't protest our company. If you're not familiar with that concept, well, if you see Al Sharpton around, he'll explain it to you. It's how he became a millionaire. And so Walmart said they're no longer funding the Racial Equity Institute. And this was the training that bashed on heterosexual people, bashed on white people, especially white straight males. They were the enemy, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's going away. And Walmart also says it will no longer use the phrase DEI. What is that? Diversity, education. I forgot. But instead,
diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay. Well, they're getting rid of it. That's kind of bold, right? Instead, it's going to be respect for all employees. No preference for one kind over another. No telling one group of employees that they're bad people. Everybody's going to be respected, and that's the way it ought to be. The DEI world divides us into two groups, the victims or the oppressors. you are victims who need to be privileged, or you oppressors need to be penalized. That's what DEI tells us, and that's completely opposite. It's counter to the concept of equality. And finally, the word Latinx. Walmart says it's going to stop using that term in its customer products and in its internal corporate language. That Latinx won't be a thing anymore at Walmart. And I think I brought this up before, that Latinx term, the fact is, Hispanics, the Latinos I know in town, hated that term. And the reason why is because it's not theirs. They never even thought up the word. If you look at the history of Latinx, it was actually invented by white progressives and was another way the Democratic Party could classify a certain group, like they like to do. You know, Democrats, they're very big on compartmentalizing. Is that a word? They like to classify people in little ethnic groups that they don't feel have to assimilate into our culture and language. But can you imagine arrogant white progressives telling Latinos what they should be called? That's what happened. And the party of the left pushes these divisions as opposed to promoting the fact that, hey, we're all Americans. And you know what? I like and honor the terms Mexican-American, African-American, because they don't leave the word American out. But Latinx, it reminds me of another infamous Channel 2 story when, after I read a news story and referred to the person as Hispanic, during the commercial break, my co-anchor turns to me and she says, "It's not Hispanic. The word is Latinx." And I said, "What is Latinx?" "It's the word you should be using to describe people like me." Okay. Happy for the new word. She also tried to make me read Hispanic names in news stories with, like, real Hispanic, like, I'm sorry, Latinx dialect. I said Jorge, but she kept trying to get me to do the Jorge, Jorge. Like, I still can't do it. And why should I? I finally had to say, listen, I'm a white guy. I'm sure the people who are watching know that I'm not Latino, and I'm not going to fake Jorge, the Hispanic accent. Yeah. That and the scolding I got from the station manager when he called me into his office and said, "You use the word cancel culture. That's a Republican term." No, it isn't. You know, both sides have done it and can do it. There was an awful lot of this weird woke re-education thing going on during my final month at 2 News Nevada, and I think that's where you're going to hear Latinx in the news, and you're never going to hear cancel culture there. But anyway, as of this week, Walmart now basically says we value everybody who comes to work for us, and we value everybody who shops with us, and we're not going to say or indicate anything different. Yeah. And I appreciate that. I really do. It's, my gosh, common sense. Common sense is coming back. You know what? What they are doing, that's fairness. That's the golden rule. That's the American way. We are all equal, just like the Constitution originally said. I'm John Potter, 884-9910. That's our number. Now's the time to call. You're next. 884-9910 on 99.1 FM Talk. FM News Time is, this is 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM Talk News Time is 1020.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Okay, I'm kind of getting into this text thing now. I got a comment here about, we were talking about what DEI stands for, and someone texts DEI, also known as did not earn it. Okay, that's all right. You know what? I didn't really mind about DEI when I heard companies were using it until I was reading about Boeing changing. Well, they fired a ton of engineers out there, and they went DEI. And, okay, so that greatly concerned me because I'm a white-knuckle flyer, and Then I got emotionally involved in the whole DEI issue. If you just joined us, just talking about how Walmart is leaving the DEI culture behind. And I mentioned, and I never bring him up, you know, this is a local show, but I made the comment about Walmart not paying an operation called the Racial Equity Institute anymore, which was a group that would go to Walmart stores and lecture employees on racial inequality. And it just reminded me that we found out in the aftermath of this last election that the Kamala Harris campaign, which seems largely as a way to pay Kamala's closest friends, that's what they're finding out now, but that Kamala Harris campaign gave two separate $250,000 payments to Al Sharpton's charity. Al Sharpton's charity is Al Sharpton, right? He started it years ago as a we know this, right? He started it years ago as a nonprofit, and he literally had this sort of situation where he would talk to companies and he'd say, well, what are you doing for the underprivileged and all? And if what they were doing for the underprivileged included writing his organization a large check, well, then everything was good. But if their plan for the underprivileged did not include writing his organization a big check, then more often than not, he organized some kind of boycott of that company. So that sort of hustle, long and well established. But about this recent election, Kamala Harris, you may recall, was interviewed on MSNBC, I think, or CNN, one of them I don't know. Neither one has many viewers, but Reverend Sharpton has an occasional show on there, weekly or something, and Kamala Harris came on and was interviewed by him, and he threw her a bunch of big softballs, and the interview was much quoted in her campaign materials. Well, it turns out that before that interview, her campaign had given him $500,000. That we know. Her staff had maybe given Sharpton a word-for-word script to use, too. If that happened, wouldn't be surprised. But if you're curious, how much does Al Sharpton cost? We know now it's $500,000, okay? And the whichever news channel that was, CNN, MSNBC, what does it say about the integrity of your so-called news broadcast if you had someone on there interviewing a political candidate during a campaign, and that somebody doing the interviewing had been given $500,000 by that candidate? Doesn't that kind of make you think that maybe I could be a conflict of interest there? but somehow, because it's, you know, the topic involved, it's fine and okay, and the network still hasn't publicly come clean about this, and either has CBS come clean about editing Kamala's answers on 60 Minutes. And if anybody else, if this happened to Sharpton would never be on TV again, or maybe would be. The news media is proving more and more to me that the big three or the four news media, they can't be trusted. But anyway, the Kamala Harris campaign put a lot of money in a lot of people's pockets, and you kind of wonder if that was the whole idea from the beginning. 884-9910 is our number. That's our number. Yes, we're going to break for Fox News. We're going to have a lot of comedy at 11 o'clock. The next appearing guest at the Nugget Comedy Club is going to be on with me 11 o'clock this morning. But for now, it's open topic for you. 884-9910, and text us. And I'm getting a kick reading the texts. I'm entering a world I didn't know existed. It's great from hearing you either way. I'm John Potter, live and local, Fox News next, and we'll be back on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 1029.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
We're broadcasting live from Reno. where the temperature is currently 31 degrees. Hey, when does hibernation start? Because I'm 100%. I want to do that. I'm John Potter, live and local. And, you know, all of my shows are listenable sometimes. If you wish to listen on the podcast section of the 99.1 FM Talk website, maybe I, you know what? I got to get the app, Craig. Are the podcasts on the app? We have an app, right?
We have an app. The podcasts are on the website, 99.1fmtalk.com, and on 92.3fmtalk.com. They're posted in both places. But the app, I think I don't have a link to it. I'll have to work on that and get the podcast link to our app. I don't think I've done that yet. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, Jerry, another job for me to do. Thank you.
But we appreciate you. And I just want to, I was talking too much, you know, personally about why I'm here and everything. I just, there's a part of me, just ego, just enough testosterone left to say, heck yeah, let me show you what I can do.
Yeah.
And I recognize, you know, that's probably vanity. It's probably stupid, but let me show you what I still can do. And that's why I'm doing this. And I hope that made some sense when I was rambling on about the past 3.5 years for me. And maybe some of you folks out there can relate to that.
Well,
so.
I was going to jump all the way back to the Latinx segment. And that's not the first time that we in the America, United States of America, have appropriated something. Well, let's say, okay, Cinco de Mayo doesn't exist in Mexico. Oh, it is May 5th in Mexico, but that's not a celebrated right. day. It's a U.S. holiday.
Invented by what, beer companies?
Yes.
Corona? Yeah. Well, it just blew me away my last month at the TV station that I was supposed to say Latinx referring to Hispanics, and I was not supposed, you know, the language and everything changing. Why? And who started it? Where did it all begin? And they don't give up. I don't know what the next term is going to be. So right you are, my friend. Right you are. Craig, you know the name Squeaky Fromm?
Yes.
Okay, you do know. A lot of people don't know Squeaky Fromm. I just saw her on this, I think it was on ABC, did a special, Where Is She Now? And now it's on the internet here. It says, Lynette Squeaky Fromm says she's still in love with Charles Manson. Man, I'll tell you, that guy had some charisma. A straggly guy. You know what? How do they, you know, I look at these stories of cults and stuff and the lunatic leaders of these cults. How do they sell it? I don't get it. But anyway, she's, I guess, living in upstate New York, and she is
76 years old.
Yeah. And people forget, you know, everybody was shocked when there were two assassination attempts against Donald Trump. Man, Gerald Ford had two assassination attempts in just 2 weeks or three weeks in California, I think. And so... Anyway,
so people who are reading and looking for actual books, there is a book out there. It's mm-hmm. available on Amazon. It's called Squeaky, The Life and Times of Lynette Alice Fromm.
No, I think I'll pass.
Yeah.
But I'm reading the story here, and this is her quote. Was I in love with Charlie? Yeah, said Fromm with a smile. Oh, yeah. Oh, still am. I don't think you fall out of love with that. All right. Let me see what else. Oh, here's a headline. School leaders warn AI, artificial intelligence, is a real and present danger to education. It's a real life danger to everything. I know. Here's another reason I don't trust the news media. The reporters don't really have to write a story anymore. They can just put in a couple of basic facts, the what, when, where, how, why, and AI will write the story. I could tell that certain websites, I think the CBS Sports website, I know AI has been writing those articles for years because they follow the same basic pattern. And, you know, when I watch a football game, I search for, say, Raiders, Chiefs spread. I want to know the spread, and it will pull up an article. I think it's CBS Sportsline or something, and it will direct me to this article, and the headline says the odds for the Raiders, Chiefs game. And you have to go through three paragraphs of this flowery, and it's always the same language too, to finally get to the fourth paragraph where it gives you the spread. I know AI has got to be doing that. So I think it's a threat to everything, and nothing is going to be real anymore. The article says, while much attention is focused on the risk of students using AI to cheat in coursework, there are also concerns about the impact on children's mental health as well as on the teachers. I agree. Learning is at its best, and human beings are at their best when you're challenged and you're taught to overcome those challenges. So I think AI is going to make life too easy, like everything else in our culture has done, and strip away learning and teaching unless we get ahead of it. But I think the horse is already out of the barn. I don't think you can stop it. But the school leaders who spoke out cast doubt on government's ability. Really? Government has an ability to effectively regulate AI? Effectively and government. Effectiveness and government don't go together. And today, this is an old article, but it's New York Times here. Headline reads, to see one of AI's greatest dangers, look to the military. AI taking some things too seriously, like it does when it scans through data, could that set off the big bombs if they give it too much control? You know, I got to say, if our future with companies using AI is anything like HP customer service, we're in a world of hurt. I would rather talk to the customer service representatives who call themselves names like Fred and Alan in the Philippines. I would trust them more than AI, you know. One time I realized after a bit of back and forth, I was on Amazon. Did I tell you this story? And I was, the little window pops up and it says there's a little cartoon picture of this customer rep, and the little window pops up and the text from the rep says, is there anything I can help you with? It's an AI generated Frankenstein is what this is. And, so I didn't know this till later. I wrote back to it, and the so-called agent came up with a paragraph instantly about the thing that I was looking for. So, I was not communicating with an agent. It was AI. And by the way, my wife says AI is male because it doesn't listen. Now, she has a point. Human customer service is going extinct. And I'm telling you, it's the AI future. This ChatGPT is destroying 5,000 years of human common sense and originality. But let me say to our future AI masters, not to take what I said there seriously. It's back to serious. Feature articles have been written for years now by this creature. And could they write our news in the future? Well, they're doing it now. It can take data from police reports and press releases and Facebook posts. I could have had it so easy if I stayed in the newsroom and had the, I would never do that. No. 884-9910 is the number to call. You can also text it. I feel like a lonely man today. I really do. Everybody's out shopping or something. We're going to have one more segment, open topic. Then we have some comedy for you from the next guest coming to the Carson City Nugget Comedy Show. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1044.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
And I'll say it again before we do anything else. The best of luck to our Wolf Pack going to that terrible blue voting city down south as they play UNLV for the Fremont Cannon. That's at 5 o'clock today. The cannon has been red. This is the one time red is bad. But it's been red for the past 2 years. And we want to bring it back. Not only paint it blue, but bring it back here. So good luck. I know they've had a very difficult season, UNR football, but I have a lot of high hopes pinned on this big game today. I don't want my heart broken. The Raiders have already torn my heart into pieces. Let's go to the phone. John calling from Washoe Valley. Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you called, John.
Hey, thanks, John. I appreciate it. And I'm really frustrated that people refer to the athletic department at the University of Nevada, Reno as UNR. The athletic department, and you can fact check me live, but the athletic department is called Nevada, period. Flagship university, flagship athletic department, first one. So as a land grant university, it's called Nevada.
That is correct.
You're not alone. There are many sticklers. Sometimes I use a little shorthand. But yes, you're technically absolutely correct. Now, what do you call University of Southern California?
Which way, academic or sports?
Well, I've always heard it called either way, USC. So, like I said, it's shorthand.
Is it the original USC, or is it the second USC?
Well, yeah, I don't like to complicate things too much, I guess.
Well, he is true. The University of Nevada here in Reno was the first, they tried to go through a rebranding about 10 years back, but for some stupid reason, everybody still kept saying UNR.
Well, I remember.
Right, but if you look at it nationally, you'll see nationally they'll use Nevada. So as an example, this morning, ESPN on College Game Day was talking about all the rivalry trophies, and the grandest trophy of them all is the Fremont Cannon that Nevada and UNLV play for.
True.
Now, UNLV was never UNLV. They were originally called Southern Nevada University when they started out because they were Southern Nevada Community College. And then as they grew up, they became UNLV. They should be Nevada State University, but the Community College of Clark County just named themselves Nevada State University.
Well, I here's my excuse here, John, because I spent most of my life in Nevada, but I worked for 10 years in Las Vegas. And that 10 years, I think, corrupted my brain. Because you could not go on the air in Las Vegas and call our university, University of Nevada. You would get all this, flack. What do you mean we're Nevada too? We're a University of Nevada, which is technically true. So what you're saying is true if you add the Reno at the end. But again, I was just using shorthand on that. So
No worries.
Yeah. How was Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was phenomenal. We all talked politics, and we had a great time.
And you came out unscathed with no bruises?
Oh, no. We're all on the same page. We all love Trump. Trump, Trump, Trump.
Oh, okay. That works. I mean, it's sad, but I heard stories about daughters who are just refuse to join the family at the dinner table because, you know, old angry Uncle Al ruined it last year. You know what I'm saying?
I understand totally. As a kid growing up, I grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona, and my mother was the head bookkeeper for Goldwater's department store, which Barry Goldwater as the father of conservatism. And so I was at the Ronald Reagan speech, A Time for Choosing. And you can see the video at the Reagan Library and it's a phenomenal video. I was maybe 12 months old at that time, maybe a year old. But, yeah, growing up in Arizona, everything was red way back in the day. We didn't care that much for John McCain back in the day because he was a quote-unquote maverick, which meant he was a rhino. And then in 74, when we moved up here, we were really excited about Paul Laxalt and everything that he was doing. So, yeah, so the whole family is all red, red, red.
Wow, you moved here in 70.
Right. The only 74.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, I was just going to say the big thing for us is, you know, we're always blue for Nevada, except for on election day, we're red.
Right. All right, you are, my friend. Okay, well, 1974, oh, lucky dog. I got here in 78. I wish I had been here in 74, because there are so many great things back in the day, my friend. They don't like me to talk about old stuff, though, so.
Well, I don't mind talking about old stuff. I will tell you that when we did move into downtown Minden and went to junior high and high school, people could not figure out what we were because we were tan with blonde hair. And so they were like, what are you? You're not Indian, right? You can't say Indian. Now it's Native American or Indigenous and all that kind of stuff. Right. But it was funny because, yeah, we were tan and we were blonde, and it was August of 74 when the finalization happened and we moved up from Scottsdale. And it's been great ever since.
No regrets. Okay. Well, thanks, John. I appreciate the call. And go, University of Nevada, Reno. There you go.
No, Nevada, period.
Well, okay.
Yeah, University of Nevada.
The Las Vegas people don't like that. Yeah.
Screw Las Vegas. That's why we say EFUNLV.
Okay. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Yeah, see, Vegas 10 years corrupted me. Can't be saved. But, boy, I wish I could pick his brain about the sights and sounds of 1974 in this area. And I remember going to Gardnerville in 78. And, man, the restaurants, the Basque restaurants, that was real Basque restaurant. Basque restaurants now, separate tables. We just ate at JT's last week. Wonderful place. I loved it. Had a great time. But two things. They divided up the tables. You see, the real charm, the real love of Basque restaurants to me were the long tables where everybody got to know everybody, strangers. But you were all best friends by the end of dinner, and there'd be the passing of the plates down the table and up the table and down the table. Oh, I miss that experience. I really do. I don't know. Maybe too many Californians moved here, and they were sticklers about their privacy or something. And that kind of, I don't know what the reason was to take away the long tables. I know Louis still has about one or two of the long tables, but I really miss those. And I also miss having a Basque restaurant dinner without being rushed. Okay, am I the only one to experience this? The rush job I got in Elko at the Star. Okay, I know they're very popular and famous, and I know they're making a fortune by cycling the tables so quickly. They must be making a fortune, but rushed.
Yeah. And I've noticed that with a lot of restaurants now. It used to be that they would turn a table once an hour. Now they're looking to do it every 45 minutes. Just if the kitchen would only be fast enough to
that doesn't work with a Basque restaurant well.
Not at all.
You are
no.
Serve the sides, and the sides are unlimited at JT's. I never got to have the second serving of sides because they wanted to push the dessert on us and everything. I was so disappointed. I didn't say anything to them, but I didn't like it. I just did not, and that's the second or third time a Basque restaurant has basically said, not verbally, get out of here. That's not how it used to be.
Yeah, they walk up to your table and say, are you ready for the check? Hint, hint,
well,
hint, hint.
No, they just brought the dessert right there while we were still eating dinner. And it was not good, but I don't want to bash any local businesses or anything like that. I think it's just, it's not the restaurant. It's just the culture. Everything is fast, fast, fast. And I'm old, is the story. That's it. I'm 70 years old, by the way.
Yeah.
So they don't like me to remind you folks of that because, like Craig, we're the young talk station, right? Is that what we're aiming for here? What am I doing here? You're the operations director, right? Okay. I think I'm going to hear about that later. All right. Up next, we're going to have our comedian guest. These guys are always a blast to talk with. He's appearing. It's Jamie Lissow. And he's appearing at the Carson City Nugget Comedy Club. And so we're going to get some humor and have a good time with that. Okay. No more old man rants. I promise. 884-9910, number to call. You can also text me, too. And I'm looking at the texts today, and it's a wonderful new world for me. I'm really enjoying looking at these texts, whatever you say. 884-9910. Going to break for Fox News. Be back in a few minutes. I'm John Potter, live and local on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We do it every Saturday between 9 and noon. FM News Talk time, 10:58. See you later.